Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It is Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate and rejoice because Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Let me read from Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. This morning, we're going to journey with those women who came to the tomb as they move from grief to fear to wonder to joy. So we start with grief as the women go to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices. When we read the accounts of the Easter story, it might be tempting to wonder why the women went to the tomb in the first place. After all, it was clear they knew there was a massive stone that had been rolled in front of the tomb. After all, in Mark's account, the women ask each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the tomb?" But when we really stop and think about what they were going through, the emotions and the pain, I can understand it a bit. After all, grief doesn't tend to be logical. Here's a small glimpse into one of the women's thoughts as they travel to the tomb. "We're going to the tomb where Jesus' body is laid. We're taking the spices we prepared, myrrh, nard and aloes, in the hope that we can anoint his body. I guess it's a last gesture of our devotion to him." And yes, I recognise this is probably a futile, wasted journey. They put a huge stone over the entrance to the tomb, and there are Roman guards posted there. It's not like any of us women are going to be able to move that heavy stone. But maybe, just maybe, the Roman soldiers will take pity on us and move it for us so we can anoint his body. Yeah, I know it's very unlikely. The Romans are never going to help a group of Jewish women perform our religious duties to someone that they crucified. But what else can we do? We can't just sit around doing nothing. Every time I pause for even a moment, I remember the horrible sounds of his cries of agony as he hung on that awful cross. Every time I close my eyes, I see him hanging there, bleeding, suffocating, his bones out of joint. I can't bear it, so I have to keep busy. I have to do something to stop the images playing on repeat over and over in my head. Even if all I can do is stand outside the tomb, it will be better than just sitting around with the others. I need to do something, anything to dull this pain. I know it's stupid, but I just need to be near him, to somehow feel a connection of with him, even in his death. I don't want to believe this is happening. I just want to wake up and find Jesus teaching in the synagogue or healing someone's ailment. How can he be dead? They killed my Lord. And they didn't just kill him, they humiliated him, they tortured him. What had he done wrong? Nothing. They killed him for no good reason. I just don't know what I'm going to do now. How can I just carry on with normal life, knowing my Lord is dead? I cannot fully imagine what they must have been feeling, but I imagine that sense of hopelessness would have been overwhelming, and so they needed to try and do something. They went to the tomb to anoint with spices, knowing it was probably a wasted journey. And it was a wasted journey, but for a very different reason. Not because they couldn't move the stone, but because there was no body there to anoint. Jesus was not there. And so let's listen in to their experience as they move from grief to fear. I think we were all so wrapped up in our thoughts that when we get to the tomb, it doesn't immediately register. The stone has been moved, and the entrance is no longer blocked. In fact, it's gaping open, almost as if inviting us to go inside. And the guards, well, they're on the ground, unconscious. For a moment, I wonder if they're dead. We all look at each other, wondering what is going on. None of us move at first. I don't know about the others, but I'm terrified. I don't know what will happen or what I will find when I enter the tomb. And then what if the guards wake up and arrest us? But I have to see. So taking a deep breath, I start walking forward towards the tomb. I enter first, and it takes a couple of moments for my eyes to adjust to the gloom inside the tomb. Where is he? Where is his body? I can see where his body would have been, the linen cloth lying there neatly piled up, the grave clothes, but no body. He is not here. I don't understand. Where could his body have disappeared to? Who has taken his body? In John's account, Mary Magdalene is convinced that someone has taken Jesus' body. She even questions someone she thinks is the gardener about where Jesus' body had been moved to. Their immediate thoughts that someone has stolen Jesus' body is understandable, because of course that's what you'd think, isn't it? Your mind certainly wouldn't immediately go to thinking that he had been risen from the dead, despite the number of times that Jesus predicted it, because it goes against our understanding of the way the world works. And yet, that is, of course, what happens. The men appear beside the women in clothes that gleamed like lightning. And the women are terrified. Again, understandably. The men say to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." The men try to explain to the women that there is nothing to be afraid of, because Jesus had said all this would happen. Nothing about this is unexpected for Jesus. This was God's plan right from the beginning. But when we're in the middle of it, it's hard to see what God is doing, and so we get fearful. And that's certainly the case for the women at the tomb. But eventually, their fear turns to wonder. Could this really be true? What these men are saying? I do remember what Jesus told us, but honestly, at the time I thought he was speaking in metaphor and imagery. He often did, after all. And then even when he was told us he was speaking plainly, I believed he was speaking about a higher truth that we couldn't understand. But now it seems like he was telling us the plain truth. I mean, he certainly was handed over to sinners, and he certainly was crucified. So can it really be true that he has been raised again? That he is alive? I can barely believe it, but it would explain why there is no body. And these men, they are not ordinary men. They are hard to look at. Their clothes are gleaming so bright. So they must be messengers from God. And that means that they must be speaking the truth. Jesus is alive. He is truly alive. I don't know what to think. I can't comprehend all of this at all. I turn to look at my friends and they all look as stunned as I feel. None of us seem to know what to say or do. But as I look at the others, I see the same expression on their faces as I feel myself. A small, blossoming hope, wonder, and tentative joy. I bet it would have taken more than just that moment for the realisation to sink in. But it eventually would, and that realisation would then turn to joy. Because of course they not only realised Jesus was alive, but they met him in the flesh. The Gospels are very clear in mentioning that they met with Jesus. They clung on to him. They heard him speak to them. They watched him eat. This was not a hallucination or a delusion caused by grief. It was real. Jesus was there with them even though they had watched him die horrifically on the cross. Their friend, teacher, mentor, Lord had died, but now was with them again. What utter relief and joy they must have experienced. Those disciples of Jesus went through an amazing journey of grief, to fear, to wonder, and then finally to joy. But how do we respond to these events? What does this Easter story make us think and feel? Perhaps relief at knowing that we have a saviour, that all our sins are wiped away from us. Perhaps you feel love and adoration for your risen Lord. Perhaps you feel joy and you can't help but sing God's praises. Or perhaps you might still be unsure about the truth of this story, and so you feel doubt and confusion. Whatever you might be feeling, take it all to God. Even if you're not sure that if God is truly there, he wants to hear from you and is waiting to meet with you, even in the midst of doubt. Allow God to meet you where you are and to speak to you and reveal the Easter story to your heart. Let's pray. Lord, the events of that first Easter Sunday are amazing, and we can totally understand why those women felt such a range of conflicting emotions. And Lord, as we reflect upon the Easter story, we too may feel a range of conflicting emotions. And so, Lord, we just bring them to you, and we ask that you would help us to understand more about what happened, that you'll help us to realise who you are, and that you are alive, and you are with us. So, Lord, I pray that you would be revealing yourselves more and more to each person this day. In your name we pray. Amen.